I love Dragon Ball Z. I'm also like I'm like critical of the writing in a particular way because it's a popcorn anime. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Nope. God tier. It's not popcorn anime.
Okay.
I got you.
We talked about this before, right? He was asking me what I think of when I think of that kind of, and I said like Pokemon, and my second one was Dragon Ball Z, and he disagreed. He's like, no, it's not top tier. But I got to tell you, when I was growing up, those are the only two I ever heard people talking about, right? So either I lived in a super obscure anime community, or those were two of the most popular Saturday morning animes that people watched.
No, it was the first one. It was the first one, Lance. Hello, fellow weebs and otakus. Welcome to another episode of Anime Fix, where you're fixed for all things anime. I'm Chase.
I'm Lance.
And I'm Kyle.
What?
Hey, Kyle.
Hi. What? Thank you so much for having me on. This is really great.
Yeah. Excited to have you.
Happy to have you here.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Loved your recommendation. Oh, no, I was going to say, your recommendation.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Yep. I have so many thoughts and feelings, but we'll get into that.
Yep. I usually like to let from the one time we've had a guest before this, I like to have the guest explain what we're talking about since they pick the anime.
All right. So I recommended we watch Death Parade. I spent a long time being like, oh man, I can pick an anime to talk about because I've listened to a lot of your episodes so far, and I'm like way deeper down this rabbit hole than you guys are. So I was like, oh man, there's so many I could introduce them to. But of all the ones I thought about, Death Parade is one that feels very me and very, very connected to like the type of art I make and whatnot. Summary of it, it's about a bar in the afterlife where people go to be judged, and
yeah,
there's a lot of feelings. It's a very feeling heavy anime.
Yes, I got a lot of feelings of like, I don't know why, but I got a lot of feelings of Tokyo Ghoul and like the themes and not really the kind of the art, but more of the emotions that it elicited in me. I'm not sure about you, Lance, but that's how I felt.
I kind of liked how it started out. There's like three simple rules that all of them follow by, and then you introduce a little bit of chaos, and they're trying to explore what happens if you just change it a little bit. And I kind of liked seeing that blossom, and seeing it through one of our central characters, Deckham. Or really probably the central character, he's sort of just, I don't know if opaque's the right word, but he's just so deadpan to the point, doesn't really have any inflection in his voice. Kind of see him start off as this sort of blank slate, mm-hmm. And then as he evolves over time, gets introduced to these new things, how it affects him. I thought that was really cool.
I feel like this might be like too early in the podcast to really talk about it, but
it's never too early. There's no rules.
Okay, that's fine. I did a whole rewatch to prep for this, also because I love Death Parade, and just like in the final episode, they let a actual like adult coded grown man, not shonen protagonist, just bawl his eyes out, and I really respect that.
That's different.
And it's not it's not like over the top anime bawling. It's like I feel so much sadness right now and I must cry. And I especially in Western media, you just don't see that enough.
Oh no. And well, and that not only did he cry, but the person that he was judging was doing the comforting. Mm-hmm. Like, she's being judged whether she's, you know, damned or, you know, reincarnated. And he's the, and she's like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
In what universe would the judgee get be the comforter? So
I will say, how confused were you both on the first episode of like what's going on? And because like after I watched the first episode, I was like, well, I'm hella confused because I don't know where anyone's going. I don't know like any of like the rules or like if the girl, I was really confused if the girl was going to go to heaven or hell from, because I didn't know about the reincarnation or the void part yet. And I had to look it up because I wasn't patient enough to watch the second episode.
It explains all that in the second episode.
It really does. You just waited. I would have just watched the second episode, but I hit play and then I looked at my phone. And I was like, well, I'm gonna put my phone down because now they're explaining it.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I thankfully was patient enough with it. I do like shows that have this format of like, okay, so just minor shill, I've got a fiction podcast that I'm writing, and I definitely like sort of built from this format, and where you've got a format, okay, a thing is happening, and this thing happens repeatedly every episode, but each time they approach this new problem, a little bit more of the universe and the world and the problems are explained. And I do really like how Death Parade handles that, how it takes all the questions you have and then like sort of just one at a time each episode answers another question. I love the pacing of that. And yeah, it starts out a little wild and confused, but I really like how it slowly answered the questions for me. I didn't really end up with a lot of, like, by the end of the series, I didn't really feel like there was a whole lot missing, like a whole lot more I needed to know. I felt very content with the answers I was given.
So it's funny you say that you were content, because I was actually, I felt myself longing for like a season two or wishing that each episode expanded more, because sort of the questions so we get why the arbiters exist and we get, you know, why it's done in this way, but where did the arbiters come from? Who created the arbiters? You know, they reference that not the old dude with the flower goatee, but but he's like close to God, right? So like what is God's role in all of this, and kind of like the culmination of how it came to be. I was very interested in that, and like the story, like the contained story that was in the season one of the podcast of the anime, was good, but I wanted them to tell me more,
to flesh it out more.
Yeah,
probably kind of like your favorite anime of all time, Psycho Pass, where they do nothing but explain the world.
You know what? I'm just gonna go ahead and say it right now.
Go ahead. I know.
Genty was my favorite character.
Oh, I wonder why, Lance. Why was Genty your favorite character?
I mean, just his overall attitude, how he approached problems, and maybe a small portion of it was it's the same voice actor as Kogami from Psycho Pass. I was watching it, and I was really into his character, and I was like, I want to see more of him. Which was the other thing too. There were so many, I think, really cool side characters that I would have loved to have their perspectives fleshed out more. But I was listening to Genty's little section, and I was just absolutely loving it. And then as I was like, wait a minute, that voice, I'm really into this voice. This sounds familiar. And so I look it up, and I'm like, oh my God, it's the same voice actor as Kogami. And then I was instantly in love. And I wanted a whole anime just about Genty.
Yep, you just wanted to have his babies at that point.
Speaking of Genty, man, when I first watched this, I was my day job was working at a bank, and I was watching it with my roommate, and the episode where Genty comes in happens, and we're like sort of analyzing what's going on, you know, this weird thing, like a asshole grown up and a kid are the two guests, and the grown up like remembers you know, being in this bar before and is like freaking out. And like, it's clearly some kind of like test going on. And my roommate just turns to me and I turn to my roommate. And we just go, he's being audited. Because I had just gone through being audited at the bank for the first time. And that's exactly what it was. It was Ginty essentially, you know, like testing if Deckham was doing the job right. And turns out he wasn't. And I found that hilarious. And I also found it hilarious that, like, very clearly when Deckham and Ginty sort of butt heads for the first time, the animators are just like, wow, we've been doing this stand-around talking anime for, like, 7 episodes, and I just really want to animate a fight scene.
We have time.
If only for a moment. You know, you're talking about he's not doing it right, but Deckham, like, in the very... well, in the second episode, when they, after the couple, so the first judgment that we see of his,
mm-hmm.
how his assistant talks about, well, maybe she's doing it because she loves him, that it wasn't like from malicious intent.
Ooh, I want to talk about that. Oh. Yeah.
And then he goes, it was, oh, I guess I made a mistake. And they just said, okay, well, we'll do better next time. Will you just send this woman into this endless existence? To never see life again, and you just shrug it off.
That's a little existentially terrifying. I love it.
Oh, hey, do you think, first off, do you think in that first and second episode, do you think she cheated, and do you think it's his baby?
Oh, you know, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I had to think about that a lot. I also looked it up as well.
So I think she did cheat, but I do think it was his baby. I very much got the vibes from the flashes of memories they gave that the woman did have an affair, but regretted it. And that's sort of what I got.
I think that the boss arbiter, I don't remember her name. I never remember the names.
What is her name?
Nona.
Nona, she's my favorite character.
Yeah.
I love Nona.
She's great.
But I kind of really, I was really surprised actually when they sent him to reincarnation, because the whole time I was watching him in episode one, I got the feeling that like he was just very obsessive, very controlling, sort of not a great guy, right? And so when the whole thing came up at the end about her cheating and possibly not being his baby, I was thinking to myself, no wonder, if it is true, no wonder she did it. I mean, she was super probably stressed out and upset and constantly being under the microscope by this guy. Why wouldn't she, you know, have a moment of lapse in judgment where she had an affair from the stress of being in that relationship? So I was really surprised that he got reincarnated because he seemed like a jerk to me.
I think that's definitely a intentional choice that they did that, because like that early judgment was very much based on a, despite Deckham always like talking about wanting to bring the darkness out of people, it was a very surface level judgment of like, okay, guy, yes, might have been an asshole, but he did the things he did based on the unjust actions of the woman, when we know as complex human beings that it's way more complicated than that. Mm-hmm. And Chiyuki, the assistant, she understood that and called Deckham out on it. But Deckham didn't know that at the time. And I think, you know, like going towards the theme of Deckham not really judging correctly in the beginning isn't understanding human emotions. I really like that sort of thematic arc throughout the series.
Oh yeah, I like his arc a lot as well.
He, it's very interesting to me because he's the central character, and I kind of get the feeling that, you know, he does this all the time and he's got a lot of experience, But I remember there being like another scene where they're talking about him and how he's not really doing a great job judging. Mm-hmm. And it sort of then sort of flipped it on me because I'm like, oh, okay, this guy, you know, he's been around a while. Maybe he's not been around a while. Maybe he's still very new. Enough that they're still watching over his every move, making sure he doesn't make any mistakes. Mm-hmm. And it made me wonder, like, how long has he been doing this? I don't know if they ever said that.
They said 5 years, I think.
5 years.
Yeah.
There's so certainly
he's relatively new.
There's this Kafka-esque level to it that I quite enjoy in that, like, they're essentially customer service representatives of the afterlife. And, like, anyone who's had a day job knows the feeling of, like, okay, you're just starting out and, like, okay, like, how am I doing relative to other people? Like, am I taking longer to pick up the ropes or like, how's that going? And, like, the seeing, you know, Nona, the manager, being like, I like this guy, but he's kind of struggling. Like, what challenges can I throw? Like, how can I help him get better at the job? Like,
to be honest with you,
or do we just cut our losses?
If that's a customer service job, sign me up for that, because they get to decide. You know what? I don't care at all about these customers. I'm just going to judge them all day. All I care about is how my manager feels about me. Nona, do you approve of me or not? I'll sign me up for that job.
Really? So, like, I kind of, Ginty, I really appreciated his customer service.
I love his customer service.
Yeah, let's just get this over with, all right? Took you long enough to get here, and he's just sitting there reading a magazine. I'm just waiting for this to play out while they're playing Death.
Just press the button.
Well, what I loved about that in particular is he, like, while he appears disinterested, the magazine he's reading is about their lives. He's still working, even though he looks like he's not.
It's very true. The other thing about, go ahead, Lance, before, because this is a whole thing that I'm going to talk about.
Okay, so I was going to say, what, the intro.
Yeah.
Completely, so after that first, so, like, you get the first, like, couple minutes of the episode in the beginning, then it has the intro, and then we find out, oh, yeah, you're playing a game with your life, and, you know, heaven or hell. And I'm like, holy shit, like, this is not what that intro led me to believe. I thought this was going to be a happy, fun time, like, hotel shenanigans. But as the season progressed, I grew to love that intro more and more and more. And it was honestly, like,
they're
all I loved
just
everything.
Such a good time in the intro.
Yeah, they are.
I kind of, honestly, the intro became, like, I love the whole season, but the intro became one of my favorite parts, just because it was so fun.
Yeah, and I think I remember, go ahead.
Oh, I usually feel very strongly about the author-audience, like, agreement that, like, yeah, you can subvert people's expectations, but, like, there you have to... No, you have to let the audience know what they're in for. And normally the intro, I'd say, is a bit of, like, misdirect, but there is something about that intro. Like, you still get in the vibe. Like, you see the bar. It's not a happy-looking place. It's a very somber place. But, again, all of our principal characters are all just having a good time. And you know what? I'd watch that OVA.
Yep. I was just going to say... I feel like that's sort of an anime trope on opening sometimes, where, like, the anime is actually super, super dark, but then the opening's, like, super fun time, let's go have fun, you know, kind of opening. And Lance was, I remember telling Lance about that. He was like, really, that's an anime trope? And I was like, yeah, there's a couple other animes that are like that. I just couldn't think of any off the top of my head.
I mean, especially the longer running ones have, like, I just think to Naruto, and, like, they have, what, like, 30 openings over the course of the series, mm-hmm. and some of them are a little tonally dissonant from what takes place in the series.
Yeah.
What did you, so, why do you think that, is it Shinyu, the assistant?
I just had it pulled up. Chiyuki, I think.
Chiyuki. Yes. Well, you don't find out her name till like the second last episode.
Yeah, it's a hard one to remember. She is literally referred to as the black-haired woman.
The assistant.
Why do you think she remembered? Because she's not the only. So we find out that she committed suicide, and that's why she's dead.
So sad.
And well, I think we should explore that too. Like what her reasoning behind, like where her motivation was, because it wasn't clear to me. But why do you think she was able to? Why do you think she could remember that she had died? Because she's not the only suicide we've seen throughout this series. But she's the only one who's ever remembered, oh, I should be dead right now. Why do you think that happened?
So I've got two explanations. One is sort of a like thematic, and one is sort of just a plot relevant. Nona does imply that maybe the Information Bureau just kind of screwed up, which given what we learn about the Information Bureau's workload,
yep,
makes sense. Again, the Kafka-esque thing of like, oh no, the afterlife is actually like short on manpower to deal with the just quantity of humans that die. I do like that. But
which that really I just want to interject that sort of maybe at the time wasn't relevant, but now I see signs everywhere of every business is like, we're hiring, we're short staff, we don't have enough manpower to take care of things. So that really sort of this current moment really hit home to me. I'm like, oh gosh, this is what's kind of going behind the scenes.
Well, yeah. In America in particular, companies have been operating on as few employees as possible for the longest time. And now suddenly, you know, like even if everywhere is one employee short and they can't replace that employee, that's still too few to even operate because they've only been using the minimum. But, right. So that's the like plot explanation, but the like emotional, I'd say a bit more fulfilling explanation I'd say is that we see one other suicide, victim. Yeah. And he doesn't really regret his actions until the game, whereas Chiyuki regretted them almost immediately.
Yep.
And I'd say those are probably the I say is the biggest difference between them.
I would agree with that one as far as like from what I remember, because I watched this at the beginning of the week because I was bored and needed to watch some sort of anime. So I watched it all on like Sunday or Monday. Immediately after it happened, I think like later on, she was saying like immediately like regretted everything. So I think that's why she kept her memories.
I need to step away for a second. Go ahead and keep talking. I'll be right back.
Okie doke.
Okie doke. So Kyle, I have a quick question while he's gone, as long as you're cool with that. What got you into anime, or like how long have you been watching anime?
So my first anime was Dragon Ball Z and or Sailor Moon, depending. Bro. I was, you know, a wee babe. And I didn't even know it was, yes. I didn't even know it was anime at the time. Oh man, that is, oh, bro, wow. I noticed the ink,
arm.
But I didn't.
My whole arm.
Oh, that's rad. I like that Vegeta is the centerpiece.
Yep.
Oh, it's fucking rad.
Gohan kicking Boo, bro. I got. And then this is my first one ever.
Oh, that's great.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Kind of obsessed with Dragon Ball Z. Go ahead though. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh yeah, no worries. I didn't even like when I was watching those. I didn't really understand them as anime. I just thought they were like, ooh, cool cartoons. And
same thing.
I got started drawing actually by. Like following like how to draw Dragon Ball Z characters,
bro,
drawing book. And eventually I think it was Full Metal Alchemist was the first anime that I recognized as like, okay, this is a separate thing from the cartoon, other cartoons. And
from, like,
okay,
Saturday
this is the
morning
same thing
cartoons,
as,
yeah.
And so this is the same thing as Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon. And I really liked Full Metal Alchemist. And eventually it just all sort of tied together. And that was around middle school that I
nice.
Like started watching anime as anime, and it just loved it ever since. I mean, there's don't get me wrong. There's a lot of garbage anime, but there's a lot of amazing anime too,
bro. But there's so much garbage anime that I love.
Yeah.
There's so many like harem ones that are just pure garbage, but it's just my guilty pleasure to watch them. I've been getting really into like the romance, like harem animes. I don't know why, but like I've got my fill of shonen, so I'm going through that now, and I've yet to choose one for Lance because I want him to, because he hasn't seen any like romance or harem ones yet. I'm trying to decide which one to show him.
Real, I might have to step away again, but in response to your romance anime, which I'm not against watching it.
I mean, you can watch it,
but I wanted to say. So my mom yesterday was she listened to our last episode.
Which one was that? The Where the House Husband. Yeah.
Where the House Husband. And she said, she goes, "Why don't you want to watch the romance stuff?"
So
and she told me to tell you we should watch the romance stuff. So
sweet.
Just fun bit of trivia for me. I'm a big Star Wars nerd, and that's been the case almost as long as that's been the case for almost as long as I've been an anime nerd. But watching the prequel trilogy, I used to think I didn't like romance subplots at all because I didn't like the Anakin Padme romance subplot.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until like I grew up and I'm like, oh no, that's just a really badly written romance.
It really is. Yep, 100%. To be honest with you, Dragon Ball Z, because we don't talk about Dragon Ball Z enough in this podcast, because that's one my favorite anime of all time.
Listen, we're a psychopath fan podcast.
We're not a psychopath. No. I should have never showed you that show.
I love it so much.
I know. And I'm so sorry that you can't read any more manga because they're sold out. Because no one buys it, and when they do, it's sold out.
Shut your mouth.
I was gonna say, with Dragon Ball Z, the arc when Gohan is all grown up and goes back to school and meets Videl, be honest with you, one of my favorite arcs, man. It's kind of weird, but it is. It's all filler, but it's fine with me.
Yeah, I actually quite like that as well, and it's somewhat like I wish they did more with Videl.
I really do too.
In general, I love Dragon Ball Z. I'm also like I'm like critical of the writing in a particular way because it's a popcorn anime. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Nope. God tier. It's not popcorn anime.
Okay.
I got you.
I just
we talked about this before, right? He was asking me what I think of when I think of that kind of, and I said like Pokemon, and my second one was Dragon Ball Z, and he disagreed. He was like, no, it's not top tier. But I got to tell you, when I was growing up, those are the only two I ever heard people talking about, right? So either I lived in a super obscure anime community, or those were two of the most popular Saturday morning animes that people watched.
No, it was the first one. It was the first one, Lance.
I forgot what I was going to say. Something about Naruto, probably. Because Naruto is one of those ones that, like, is kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. Like, I actually, like, some of Naruto's writing is actually, like, pretty great. Some of it, you can tell that the author was rushed and needed to get a 17-page chapter out by Tuesday and hadn't slept. So...
You mean that happens like it did in the middle of the SAO season 1 where they decided to just rush it?
Yes, okay. Yes. They messed up horribly on season 1 of SAO, sorry.
Technically, SAO is based on a light novel, not a manga. I don't
That's
know
fair.
That
That's
changes
fair.
The workload at all. But...
Well, I think I remember telling you this, Lance, of how the progression goes, because there's an anime or a manga, light novel, it's all the same thing for the progression of it, whatever, but there's an anime I watched that explains the progression from light novel to manga to anime. Like, you make a light novel first, and then if it does well, you get a manga. If that does well, you get an anime. And then you get a movie.
Where they cut out half the characters.
Hashtag Akira. Yes, okay. Hashtag Akira. It's actually our most popular episode so far right now.
I was looking at that, yeah.
I was surprised.
If I'm lucky, maybe I can eclipse those numbers. I don't know.
I hope you do.
I hope you do, too.
I would love it if you were a regular guest on this. I
mean, this is really fun. I can talk about anime all damn day.
Oh yeah, 100%, man.
If only it brings you to introduce us to more and more animes that we can watch. And so, because I've been feeling like I've been searching for some new stuff to watch, and I get these recommended. So, but to have a connoisseur of yourself to help guide us to the right content would be great.
I mentioned this to you, Lance, the other day, but like, if you guys do Gurren Lagann, let me join.
Oh, absolutely! I added
great.
Have you seen it, Chase?
I haven't seen that one at all, or heard about it at all. No,
I haven't heard of it either. But it's on my watch list now.
Is that the actual title of it, or is there like
Well, technically, it's Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann.
Okay, that sounds familiar, but
none of those words mean anything. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Kind of like Twilight Magi Madoka Magica.
Yeah, it's just Madoka Magica. Back to Death Parade, real quick. Quick question.
Right.
It's all good. We do it all the time. with what is it? Genty. He couldn't judge that one.
He couldn't judge, because what I got from that was she was refusing to leave.
No, it's not refusing to leave. I don't think so. It's
funny. Yeah.
Yep. So he couldn't judge her because she was going to sacrifice herself for the main dude, right? And then a couple episodes later, he switched it up and tested her and was like, "Well, you can bring back your man for switching places with this random dude you don't know," and like that's
who
happened
to be
a dummy. Yeah, right.
Well, I was gonna say I don't know if you guys noticed, but the person that he recommended, or that he said he would sacrifice to bring the pop idol back, was Light Yagami from Death Note.
Was it?
Yeah. No, I didn't notice that. Was it really?
Yeah, it's just straight up Light Yagami.
Is it really?
I'm pretty sure it's the same animation studio, but yeah, it's just Light Yagami. It
really?
Looks just
I didn't
like
know
him.
That. Huh. But then, he tested her, and then, like, her feelings for I'm not sure what the word is, but, like, her surface-level feelings for him got in the way of, you know, showing that, you know, it's only about him. It's not that she's a good person, really, you know?
Yeah, I don't think there's much beneath her. I mean, she even so much as says as much that her whole existence is for this guy that she just met for the first time.
Mm-hmm. But also some confidence in that. Like, she knows that it's not exactly a life other people would be proud of, but it was her choice and who she wanted to be. And I find something a bit kind of admirable about that.
Yeah. The confidence and also the just awareness. Mm-hmm.
How I was joking with one of my roommates about it was that she was too stupid to be judged.
Yes, true. Okay, so she couldn't choose, actually, I guess, from what Death Parade fandom Wikipedia says, but they also say that it is actually Light Yagami, since they're animated by the same studio. That's kind of crazy. Well, she should have picked her main dude.
That fuck Light.
Yeah, I know, right?
I would have loved, if that's the case, I would have loved if I mean, like, I guess maybe Light Yagami is the extent they could do, but I would have loved if one of the people that came into Quinn Deckham to be judged was someone that he had killed, like L. I would have loved if L came in, like, just major character came in that Light killed. Would have been fantastic.
There's definitely some fandom theories that it's the same universe, which would explain like why suddenly death spiked so much.
Oh yeah, it makes total sense.
This is the whole Kira case. But yeah, I kind of like the mirror in both Ginty and Deckham's arcs there, because in a way it somewhat feels like, although Ginty would never admit it, he's learning from Deckham's growth. And that's sort of like after giving Deckham all this shit for having a human assistant, he sort of, I want to say, puts himself in a position where he thinks hard enough to also have a human he can't judge. Because I think Ginty, before that conversation with Deckham, absolutely would have just, like, not even put that much thought into it. Just thrown her into the void, put her in the reincarnation element. I don't think Ginty would have cared if it wasn't for Deckham starting to care. And to that same end, Deckham, I think through his interactions with Ginty, sort of pulls the same trick in his own way on Chiyuki in the end. That Ginty had pulled on
that even girl, though
dumb girl
that girl.
Even though it was a trick, and she ended up in the void, and like there's a brief second there where she's like, he tricked me, as she's falling, you know, to nothingness. Do you think so though that she was still happy, because right as her soul separated from her body, she unified with her love interest?
I did actually. I noticed this is something I didn't notice until my rewatch, actually, is that they're the lights of their souls actually do merge together, which makes me think that there is the void might not necessarily be as bad as Ginty explains. I'm the type of person that, like, I'm actually terrified of the idea of an afterlife. I'd much rather just, you know, everything goes dark, that's it.
Really?
Yeah. I have a lot of regrets, and I don't want to just be stuck with those regrets forever.
It's fair.
I mean, that's fair, yeah. There is some peace. There is some, not in every situation, but there is some, like, peace in the idea that, at least to me, none of this, you know, matters. There is no, you know, judgment. You just go away, right? And the idea that there is an afterlife and that what you do matters. It can go both ways, because what you do matters means it puts value in the decisions that you make, and, like, there's a point to it. But there's also some peace in there being no point. Because then, you know, if you make a mistake, it doesn't live with you for the rest of your life, for the rest of your existence.
It's definitely, like...
go ahead.
I was just going to say, don't get me wrong, I understand that's not how other people always see it. It's just me personally, like, the idea of a heaven or hell, either one, is kind of terrifying to me. And their explanation of the void, of that, like, it is just you falling forever with all of your worst emotions. Oh, that's awful.
Can't do that.
Please no.
Please no.
But in their souls finding each other in the void, like, there can be some peace to that. Like, at least, like, knowing that for the rest of eternity, you are with someone you love, or in the case of the pop idol, even, like, you're with someone who does care for you, like... Truly.
Who,
like,
he was only somewhat interested in.
Yeah. Well, I think the pop idol had a bit of an arc too, in that he did learn to really appreciate her beyond the surface level feelings he had while he was in life. And I like that idea of, like, the consolation of that.
Neither decision necessarily is good or bad. It's just what it is, and you kind of make of it what you can, you know.
Didn't they say arbiters don't have emotions, right?
They're not supposed to.
But, like, even Quinn and Ginty both have pretty strong emotions. They're just not the emotions Deckham has. Genty's always angry, mm-hmm. and Quinn is either super depressed or super happy.
Mm-hmm. If I had one complaint about the series, I think that basically the meta-narrative involving, what's his name, Oculus, the Lotus guy, I don't necessarily like that plot line. Because it is clear that the Arbiters do have emotions, as opposed to, like Lance said, it's not so much that they don't have emotions, more that they shouldn't. you shouldn't judge with those emotions anyways.
Yeah.
I guess I think sometimes we get in this thing where we're too literal with when we say like with emote, like what we define as emotions. I think you can get too literal in that. Like, you know, a person can say, I don't care what happens here, right? Mm-hmm. But they still seem irritated by it. Like, just because they're irritated or just because they're sort of annoyed or upset doesn't mean that they necessarily have like an internal, it's more of a, it's a surface level response, right? Like, you know, you,
it might
you,
be a better way. Oh.
Oh no. So yeah, like, I don't want to jump into another media, but like there are, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. I think just because you have a surface level response to something that's going on around doesn't mean that there's an internal, there's a difference between being like acting irritated and actually feeling deep in your core, like anger. Right. And I wouldn't say that Genty has a deep connection to anybody that comes through. He's just externally acts angry. I wouldn't say that Quinn has a deep connection to any of the other arbiters. I'd say that she's just, who am I confusing Quinn with? I'm confusing Quinn with Nona. Which one was Quinn?
Quinn's the one.
Quinn
the
was
I
Deckham.
Thing.
Yeah. She went to the information station, right?
That's why it's called like, Quinn Deckham.
But was it called Quinn before, and then when Deckham came in there, it became Quinn Deckham, or did they just...
I feel like they probably rotate between the names of the arbiters.
Yeah, but Quinn went to the information station, so or the information bureau.
Information
station. But she was like, oh, I can't do this anymore, you know? Why? I mean, was she starting to have stress? Like, was she starting to feel human emotion, or was she just getting stressed with the workload? And that manifested itself as kind of like indecision or an inability to be a judge. Like, I think there should be a distinction between deep internal emotion and just a surface level response.
Yeah,
I definitely I feel like, well, perhaps there is a bit of a translation disconnect. I like the sub says the same thing, so it's not like it's translated differently, but like maybe instead of like arbiters cannot feel emotion, more being akin to like arbiters should judge dispassionately. Because that is certainly, despite Ginty's very strong personality, that is what Genty does. He judges dispassionately. That's what early Deckham does. He judges dispassionately. Even though they have their own personalities and their own quirks. And who knows, maybe Quinn's whole thing was she was starting to get too passionate about this. And that's why she got transferred.
One other thing is Oculus. Didn't he say that God has been gone for a while, right?
Yeah.
And that just made me think, like, is this the reason why this whole, like, death parade happens? Because God's no longer around to judge, so the arbiters have to do it in his place? And they're
that
not good.
Would definitely
and,
be...
and they're not good at it yet, because it's just new.
That's definitely an interesting thought. That brings to what the thing Oculus says is like when Lance brought it up, he says something along the lines of like, I'm close to God. I think in the sub when I first watched it, it was translated more like I'm like as close as you can get to God. Like, he is not God, but he is, you know, the next rung down.
Yeah.
It's that is definitely one of those things, like there's a lot of mythology in media that has God being gone sort of post-human society. Like God creates the universe, you know, make sure it's self-sustaining and then goes somewhere else.
Yep.
Whatever that means. And
which I don't want to interrupt your thought. Let's go ahead. So.
Oh yeah, no. I was just if that is the case, I would assume that that what the arbiters are doing is part of God's plan of the God of this Death Parade universe? Oh.
No, so I was say, I think it, you know, I didn't think about it until just now, but it kind of makes sense that a lot of media and and mythos like describes God as being gone post-human, right? Yeah. Or just gone in general after creation, because what are we told about it? Is he knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. He knows everything that's going to happen, everything that will be. And it's been planned out that way. Why would he need to stick around? Like, if he's created this story for the length of existence, and he knows every outcome is going to happen, and he's planned for it, contingencies, and built into that narrative, why would he need to stick around? He knows the story. He knows what's going to happen. He can't. He has the ability to move on to something else. Because this is done. It's just we're playing it out in real time.
Yep.
Not to get into a whole like spirituality religion thing, but like my interpretation of a higher power is very much a writer. And you mentioned the whole story thing, and like as a writer myself, like stories do write themselves to a degree. Like, yeah, sure, I'm putting ink on the page, but like I've had characters like refuse to do what I had planned them to do, and they like completely changed the story just through their actions. And like I see that type of God both in our world, but also like Death Parades. Like, oh yeah, he doesn't need to be there. He is now enjoying the story. He's now watching the story unfold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it still enjoyable to see it? Like, if you've already written the story, as a writer, I'm asking, is it still enjoyable? Like, can you to sit back and watch it play out?
Definitely. Or
definitely? Okay.
I can't. I don't know how much I should chill or should not, but I'm narrative podcast. I'm making.
No, we're going to give you.
No,
give you an opportunity to
yeah, in about
okay
4 minutes, it's all you.
Okay,
you're getting close to the end.
I get what all I'm saying is that like seeing this project come to life and like see the because I've written and rewritten these scripts a billion times, but to see the sort of final version come out like is really exciting and fulfilling, and so I can understand that motivation of wanting to watch the story you've wrote play out as being a thing.
Yeah.
It also somewhat explains like how a god can exist and horrible things still happen, because when you're a writer, you put your characters through horrible shit because it's interesting.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, I think it's getting close to that time. So we got about 8 minutes left. So Kyle, if you want to go ahead and plug something, go ahead.
Okay. I do a lot of stuff. All my projects can be found at kylenewbridge.com. I make comics primarily, and also, again, I'm releasing a fiction podcast that you can check out now on all of the podcast places called Anachronistic. It is about a guy who travels the country fixing rifts in time and space alongside the love of his life, who he knows he's never going to end up with. Death Parade was definitely a influence on it, and honestly, if I do a season two, it very much you might see some Death Parade plot things come in, because I do talk about death a lot, and I think experiencing the afterlife in this universe would be really interesting. But you know, that's for the future. The season one's still coming out. But yeah, a lot of people have really been reacting positively to Anachronistic, and I if you liked Death Parade, you'll probably like it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want to plug for you. I'm actually, so I've been listening to your podcast. I finished episode one. I'm in the middle of episode two. I was actually listening to it right before we started recording for this, so I'm going to finish that here after we get done. And it's very good. I don't want to say that I was surprised, because I know you're talented, but I was surprised. Like, as I was listening to it, I was like, okay, I'm listening to my friend's podcast. And then I go, oh, well, this is really good. And then in episode two, like the sound design, like the background, really, because that was the one thing I think I was missing from the first episode. It's like, okay, this is really good. Then it got really good in the second episode. So because I'm big on sound, and so I recommend everyone go listen to it. I'm super excited for episode 3 when it comes out. I'm also really excited. I want to plug for you, because I asked you during your Twitch stream last night if you do commissions. Kyle does commissions. We will include the reference to your rates. I am personally looking at getting some commissions from you, and my wife's also going to be looking to get some commissions for you. So he's a very talented artist. I've watched a couple of his streams where he draws. He's really, really good, and so I want people to know that you do that as well.
Oh, yeah, I do Twitch streams.
You do Twitch streams, you do art, you do podcasts, you do YouTube videos. I'm a horrible friend, but I do intend to watch your Near Replicant playthrough, because it looks I watched the first episode, it looks really good, and so I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
I do a million things. I am a full-time content creator at this particular point in my life, so like...
Oh, nice!
Any support to any of my projects, even if it's like just sharing it around, it really, like... I'm sure you guys running a podcast understand the whole, like, at every hour I just sort of refresh my podcast statistics. I'm like, ooh, I got another 2 listeners. I went up a whole digit. So every like listen really does go a whole long way for me. So yeah. If you do check out my stuff, I super appreciate it.
Of course.
We'll include a link to everything. Definitely. Provide us anything we don't have, and we'll put it in the description so people can find it. Definitely. But yeah, I hope... I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
I am... you mentioned episode 3. That comes out October 1st, and Fable, my sound friend, which, like, we like... How I kind of describe it is like I make anachronistic. I like make the decisions on what things go where, and I like pick out the music and whatnot. But Fable's the one who like puts it all together and makes it sound good. So like I make anachronistic, Fable makes it good. And Fable just got back to me with the fully put together episode 3, and oh, I can't wait! I almost cried. Is that bad? Cry at my own work? I think
no, not at all.
Fine,
as long as you're proud of it, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So, unfortunately, it is time. I have to go to Pumpkin Patch and do dad things, I guess. But yeah, thank you for having, thank you for being on our podcast. I appreciate it, Kyle. And thank you for the awesome recommendation as well.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was a super good time. I'm super down for being a guest at another point.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You guys have me.
Oh, we will have you back for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. Totally. I definitely enjoyed it. Cool. Are we going to talk about what we're going to talk about next week, or is it going to be a surprise?
So we will talk about what we're talking about next week.
Okay.
But we'll leave the I might have slipped up and mentioned who the guest was going to be.
I think
even
you did.
Though I and then later on said, "Oh, it's going to be a surprise who the guest is going to be." So
yep.
If I did, I but if you didn't catch that, don't listen to it. Ignore what I said so it's a surprise. The podcast we'll be talking about, or the podcast, the anime we'll be talking about in our podcast is High Rise Invasion.
Yep, High Rise Invasion, okay. With a guest, a surprise
guest. Yes. Who I definitely didn't mention in a previous episode is going to be a guest.
Yep.
All right.
Alrighty, we will catch you guys next time on Anime Fix when we talk about High Rise Invasion.
Bye.